Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing.
No, you ain't.
He ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in the cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say
you
everybody, and happy Tuesday, I guess. That was a something else last night. It was a game unlike any I have ever seen in nearly 30 years of covering sports, and in, I don't know, if I started watching when I was 7, 50 years of watching sports. Bruce Arthur's a really fine columnist for the Star in Toronto, and he led his column this way. Kevin Durant went down and people cheered, and they shouldn't have. He was playing, and he shouldn't have been. The Toronto Raptors could have won a championship, but didn't, despite Durant's injury, which was a horrifying thing, and Achilles' injury, the nightmare. The winning players were as somber as the losers, and the winning general manager was fighting back tears. Golden State won Game 5 of the NBA Finals 106-105 to stay alive in the series, and everyone had regrets. Never known a game like that. Today on the show, GP is going to join us in the next segment. I'm sure we'll talk to this about with GP. Chris Harrington is going to join us, of course, at 10 o'clock. I'm sure we'll talk about this with Chris Harrington. Also, he has a piece up about Jonas Valanciunas, so we may revisit that as well. And Jessica Benson, who's with ABC 24, is going to join us at 10:25. Then we will get to the one story you've been waiting for. I confess that I was poised to write a column last night if the Raptors won. I was going to write a column on Mark. And as I made abundantly clear, I've been rooting for the Raptors and for Mark, and both separately for different reasons. And I have to say, after that unfolded the way it did, I found myself rooting for the Warriors. I didn't want to write a column about Mark when the whole thing was overshadowed by everything. Like, I wouldn't have written a woo-hoo about Mark anyway. I think the Mark thing is overdone. I think people want Mark, most people want Mark to win in a good for Mark kind of a way, right? And so the people who want him to win, it's like good for Mark, happy for Mark. It's we're not actually Toronto South, and we're not no one's actually planning parades. And then the people who are reacting to it are reacting to something that doesn't really exist. Mark's fine. Nice, good for Mark. But Mark certainly was nowhere near the story last night. He had a good first half, but that was as momentous a game in every respect that I can possibly recall. It had everything, including, at least in the sports context, tragedy. With not tragedy in the real life, people dying context, but in the context of sports, Kevin Durant, who has an Achilles injury, going down is about as much of a gut punch as you can imagine. And it was a game, as Bruce Arthur said, where everyone, even the people who looked fabulous coming into it or at various stages had regrets. Nick Nurse, going to win a championship in his first year as a head coach, Toronto, after Kawhi Leonard goes on his own personal Kawhi run, 10-0 run by himself, destroying the universe in a Michael Jordan-esque performance, Nick Nurse calls a timeout inexplicably. It was Pastner-esque, honestly. Josh Pastner is the only coach I've known before who used to call timeouts when his team was on a run.
Kill his own runs?
It was one of the many inexplicable things, but that was right out of the Pastner playbook last night. So there's Nick Nurse.
Is that available on Amazon?
Available on Amazon. The city of Toronto, which had been, and all of Canada, which had been one of the great storylines of this whole thing, embracing basketball, all of those nice people. What a bunch of wonderful, nice people, deserving. Look at them in Jurassic Park. I was reading the other day, never have as big a, there's been a bigger collection of people outside at a sporting event as well-behaved and mannerly and whatever else. Such nice people, our Canadians. And there they are booing or cheering Kevin Durant when he goes down with an injury in a just tasteless look for Toronto. So all of a sudden they're flipped on its head. And then the Warriors, who are the most brilliant franchise in sports, decide to play Kevin Durant. And that happens. And so they have a win that they don't feel good about. Toronto had a championship in their grasp and let it get away that they don't feel good about. Toronto, as a city, has a stain, fair or not, that will linger right down the line. It was this weirdly mixed emotion of a game. And so I want to go through some of those topics, Jeffrey, with you and see what we think of them. Before we get to Durant, blame, etc., let's take Toronto.
Okay.
Let's take the Toronto part of this first, okay? It started out, honestly, with a great moment for Canada. I was like, this was all the Canadians were supposed to be, as instead of having an actual singer, an anthem singer, they had someone lead the crowd in O Canada. Here's what that sounded like.
And
thank you.
just magnificent. Wasn't it magnificent?
That song is also...
That's better than ours.
Yeah.
it's better than
ours. No one loves this country more than I do.
Right.
But our anthem stinks.
Yeah, it's great. It's
in a difficult key to sing. Like, you can't chant it.
Then Durant goes down, and there were unmistakable, not two people, not three people, there were unmistakable cheers. Such that the Toronto players and the PA guy had to all quiet the fans. What do you make of that? Is Toronto evil now?
I just think it showed the power of, like, groupthink and the power. Like, we've discussed this before. Like, sometimes when you see fans behaving badly, I think it's intoxicating is the word, maybe. Like,
that same mob, that same glorious, we'll call it a throng.
Correct.
When it's singing the anthem, it's a throng.
Yes.
Right?
But it's a mob.
When it's thirsty for victory, it can be kind of a mob. And it also shows the limits of stereotypes.
Oh, sure.
Like, do I believe that all of a sudden Toronto is filled with crappy people? No. I don't believe that. In fact, I think the people who booed, who cheered, regret it today. They didn't know that he was, you would have thought it was just his calf getting retwinged, right? And they didn't know the full extent of the injury. And it was still, you don't do it. Like, there's no way in the world I would have done it. But do I think they're exceptionally awful because they did it? Or do I think that would have happened, could have happened in any arena in America? You know where it happened? Happened in San Francisco.
Yep.
You know when it happened in San Francisco? Jimmy Garoppolo's ready to play.
Yep.
C.J. Beathard gets the start. C.J. Beathard gets hurt, goes down. You know who cheers the injury?
The San Francisco 49er fans.
The Bay Area fans who are demonizing Toronto fans today because Beathard's gone and they get to see Garoppolo again. They are cheering their own player's injury. This is not, I hate to say it. There's also, honestly, there's video. Like, it was a bad look for Toronto fans, and it's going to stick with them for a long time, and it's going to take a lot of the luster off of the isn't Canada great part of this story. It just will. There was video of Toronto fans clocking a Warriors fan after the game, just cold-cocking him in the with a cheap shot after the game. You know what? There are stupid fans everywhere. I've always thought that this idea that people are just made differently in different places, like, so for example, what you would hear is that Memphis fans only like winners, or Memphis fans are late arriving, or Memphis, like, whatever, right?
Fair weather.
Yeah, fair. No, people are people. Fundamentally, people are people. We're all fair. We all like it better when our team wins than loses. If you're late arriving, you know why the Memphis fans are late arriving? Because typically there's no damn crowd. They're not used to lines. They got used to walking right in the Liberty Bowl, right?
No. So as Vince McMahon says, a sellout crowd still filing in.
Right, still filing. So people, there are good people in Toronto and there are bad people in Toronto. And then there are good people in Toronto who have bad moments in Toronto. You know who I thought was absolutely the best talking about Toronto? And given the circumstances, listen, I am absolutely, there's no disguising the fact that I have rooted against Golden State for a long time. It's a little bit difficult at times because I think they are so classy. And among the classiest, Steve Kerr, among the classiest, Steph. And when asked about Toronto, instead of just destroying them, he actually gave the most thoughtful answer I could possibly imagine. Here's Steph.
I've lived here, really enjoyed the people and their passion and excitement for not only the game, but just very confused around that reaction. It's not my experience with the people of this city. And I commend, obviously, Danny Green and Kyle Lowry especially. I think they were the ones that were kind of signaling to the crowd, like, let's check ourselves a little bit and understand that this is about an individual and a human being and not, oh, shoot, he's out, he's hurt, we won the championship.
And wasn't that just unbelievably good?
Yeah, his dad played, of course, for Toronto, so he lived
It's not my experience with the people of this city. And I think that's true. I think it's not typical of the people of that city to the extent that they're weekend. We're engaging in these stereotypes at all. So I do think it will stick with Toronto. I do think in Canada, I do think it will take some of the luster off the isn't Canada Canada. You will see fewer isn't Canada great stories after this. And it was a classless moment. I'm not doubting that. But I also think in the thirst for championship, could that have happened at FedEx Forum? You tell me.
Yeah, I think that could happen anywhere. And I'm not trying to do the whole give no wishy-washy. I've seen sports. I've seen sports fans behave badly regardless of geographic limitations and whatnot. Like, I think it just shows the power of the moment and, you know, throw in some booze. That game started at 9 o'clock Eastern.
Right.
And
they were whipped up to a frenzy. Absolutely. Yeah. And then he's down, and then it looks like, you know,
your team's going to win a championship.
And it was classless. And it doesn't define you forever, except, of course, some moments do. That will stick to Toronto like booing Santa Claus sticks to Philadelphia.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
So now you get to Kevin Durant. And you think, it's just a gut punch, man. Listen, I'm not a Kevin Durant fan in terms of the fact that he went to the Warriors. I said that on Gary's show yesterday. Gary was saying the greatest story would be Kevin Durant to come back and lead the team to victory. I said, yeah, but the problem with that is then Kevin Durant would lead the team to victory. I'm not a Kevin Durant fan. In the cartoon cuttish sports kind of way, you know, that we pick good guys and bad guys. And, but let's be clear. I would never possibly in a million years want some to blow out their Achilles. Even if it were my beloved Buffalo Bills or the Memphis Grizzlies. No. It's an unbelievable gut punch. And the question is there anyone to blame? And if so, whom? So let's go through this just a little bit. Am I to blame? And people like me who have rooted against Kevin Durant.
You're asking me, are you to blame?
I'm asking you. Are the people, well, here would be the argument.
Are you to blame for Kevin Durant tearing his ACL?
The argument would be,
I'm sorry, it took me a minute.
There were a lot of people who came out and said, you people have hated on Kevin Durant all along and blah, 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 right?
Can I explain how a torn Achilles works? There's no such thing as...
No. The connection would be this.
That they inspired him to play?
The connection... I absolutely 100% do believe... I don't believe, actually, that it is the fact that people have questioned his decision to go to San Francisco and called him a ring chaser like I have that inspired him to play. But I do believe that his sensitivity to public opinion and to how he was perceived might have had a role in causing him to play. The guy,
well, if you believe that,
the guy creates burner accounts
for sure
to prop up his own image. Mm-hmm. He's very concerned with his own image. I actually think I never yesterday called him soft for not playing.
Yes,
and indeed, I never
heard you say that.
But there are people who did.
There are people that thought he was faking it. Yes,
people
I agree.
Who wrote columns. Tim Kawakami,
yeah.
who's with The Athletic, was with the San Francisco paper long before that, wrote a column basically saying, is he soft?
Yes.
Everybody else is out there playing through stuff. Clay's out there playing through stuff. Looney's out there playing through stuff. Is he soft? Truth of the matter is he said there were rumors, there were rumblings in the locker room.
Now, there were reports after game four
So are his teammates, like, to the extent...
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Are his teammates to blame?
No, at the end of the day...
Are the people who were calling him soft that inspired him to play?
No, at the end of the day, I view this...
But don't you believe that actually had some role in it?
Yes, and that's why there should have been...
I'm getting to them. I'm getting to the organization.
I don't think they're to blame. I think at the end of the day, the medical, whoever the medical, whoever made the decision based on the guidance of the medical staff, that is, if we're trying to place blame.
Okay, well, let's go to that.
Yes.
Let's go to that. First of all, is Kevin Durant himself to blame?
I can't blame a guy in that situation because.
Guy wants to play.
Yes, I can't blame him. That's not his
fault. The job
of
the organization is to save you from yourself.
I'm refusing to blame him.
Just like Marc Gasol wanted to play,
yes.
Got broke his foot. It is, no, no. No, in fact, he should be credited.
Yes.
So, no, he should not be blamed. Okay. Now we go to the, now we go to Bob Myers. Bob Myers, by the way, gave a statement afterwards, a remarkable press conference, came out. You don't often hear from GMs after games, but here he was in his emotional press conference.
Kevin had it's an Achilles injury. I don't know the extent of it. He'll have an MRI tomorrow. Prior to coming back, he went through 4 weeks with our medical team, and it was thorough, and it was experts and multiple MRIs and multiple doctors, and we felt good about the process. He was cleared to play tonight. That was a collaborative decision. I don't believe there's anybody to blame, but I understand this world, and if you have to, you can blame me. I run our basketball operations department, and let me tell you something about Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant loves to play basketball, and the people that questioned whether he wanted to get back to this team were wrong. And I'm not here to... He's one of the most misunderstood people. He's a good teammate. He's a good person. It's not fair. I'm lucky to know him. I don't know, I don't have all the information on what really, the extent of what it all means until we get an MRI. But the people that worked with him and cleared him are good people. They're good people.
Okay, first of all, do you think that was an act?
I don't think it was an act.
Because I've heard people imply it was an act.
No,
that he came out there and those are fake. You never saw a single tear. Fake emotion to try to cover the fact that they effed up badly.
Yeah, no, I don't. If so, Bob Myers is in the wrong profession.
Oh, you want him to be in it? You want him to be in Hollywood?
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't think it was an act?
No, I do not think that was an act.
Okay, should he be blamed?
At the end of the day, yeah. Like, I keep going back to, I've been on this train for a while. Almost every single doctor that you've seen that has some notoriety and has a good track record of, you know, the sports doctors, the PFT doctor, Dr. Chow on Twitter, every single one of them, Reggie Miller, the moment that Kevin Durant went down, the immediate reaction was Achilles. And no one said, oh, he tore it, whatnot. But everyone thought that reaction, no, he was a non-contact injury. The way
last night?
No. In
the original.
The very first one.
Uh-huh.
Everyone says that. And then the Warriors come out with this cryptic statement that says, well, it's a calf strain. It's a strain. Well, strain is, by definition, a slight tear. And I keep coming back to, at the end of the day, this always felt like, to me, this was inevitable. If he was going to play... this felt inevitable.
The
by the way, I was not wishing for him to.
No, I understand.
But this
that.
Felt the, inevitable
the,
to me.
Well, two things. Let's say that he is telling the truth. Bob Myers is telling the truth.
Yes.
That the doctors told him there was no further risk of injury.
If that is indeed the case, then fine. But I just really find that hard to believe because I think it's the exact—
That's my question. If the doctor said there's no further risk of injury, then I don't think he's to blame. If the doctor said there's no— Why at that point would you put yourself in, yeah, but we're not going to risk it? They're saying there's no risk if the doctors are saying that.
I just don't— I find it very hard to believe that that's what doctors said.
So you think—
I think he was cleared.
No, that's different, though. Do you think the doctors— then you blame— if there was further risk of injury, he shouldn't have been cleared. Then you come down to blaming the doctors.
Yes, I'm blaming whoever's responsibility it was to sit there and say, like—
No, there's two different questions. The doctors have to make a decision. Is there further risk of injury?
Correct.
If they made the wrong decision, then if they said there's no further risk of injury and Bob Meyer said, okay, then he's playing, then it is the doctor's fault. If the doctor said there is a further risk of injury,
yes,
but let's give it a go, then it's Bob Meyer's. Well, but you decide, then it's Bob Meyer's fault.
Right.
But it's one or the other.
Correct. And to me, I find
And so we don't know what the doctor— Now, maybe it's—
you,
maybe
you
it's
have doctors
murkier
in
than
your,
that.
You have doctors in your family, and you know for a fact. I always hate when people say, well, the doctors say there's no further risk of injury. I've never really heard doctors come out and say that, especially with ligaments.
They can say that. They can say one or the other. They'll answer that question one way or the other.
Sure, but it's not like no further risk. It's like, well, it's not
no,
likely.
They're gonna— Well, that's—
You see what I'm saying?
If they said there's— it's not— if yes, it's not likely, but it could be enhanced risk of injury, then it's Bob Meyer's fault.
Yes.
So, and here's the problem. Like the Chandler Parsons situation, you will never know what the doctors said.
100%.
Everyone wants to throw those doctors under the bus, and people in the Chandler Parsons thing. And people have pointed out that they changed their training staff. They didn't change their orthopedics. Nope. Orthopedists. I've actually never blamed the doctors for that. I think what happens is you're exactly right. Doctors talk about risks and possibilities and not absolutes. And then within that, the organization makes decisions. And I think within that, that's probably what happened. And so I think probably Bob Meyer's—
And that's why I think he was so— that's why I think he was so emotional last night.
Is to blame. All right, we're going to take a break. GP, we'll get GP's thoughts on this when we return. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's time to say out with AT&T and in with Xfinity. As in with XFi from America's best internet provider, according to speedtest.net. And in with connected and protected devices throughout your home with enhanced network security when you add XFi Advantage. In with internet that stays fast, even when everyone is using it. And in with the best streaming experience on all your screens, so you can watch your favorite live TV and more in all your favorite places. It's out with AT&T. And in with simple, easy, awesome. Now through June 30th, get started with this incredible offer with up to 400 megabits per second download speed and TV for $80 per month for a year with a one-year agreement. Plus, add XFi Advantage for enhanced network security and unlimited data. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today. Requires EcoBill paperless billing and auto-pay enrollment. Restrictions apply. New Extreme Pro and Basic TV customers only. Actual speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Equipment, taxes, and fees, including BTV fees, extra and subject to change. After agreement term, regular rates apply.
This big boy can do some heavy lifting. It's time for the Gold Strike King of the Ranch giveaway. You could win your share of $350,000 in free play and prizes, plus a Ford F-150 King Ranch. The drawings happen every Saturday in June and July. Now that's a giveaway. Yeehaw! CM Life Rewards Desk for details. Color, make, and model may vary. All rights reserved. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Attention, CDLA drivers. McLane in Memphis has immediate opportunities for Class A drivers. Average $70,000 annually with a $7,500 sign-on bonus, depending on experience. Drivers can count on generous benefits starting day one, along with a four-day work week. Don't wait. To learn more, visit driveformcleanmemphis.com. That's driveformcleanmemphis.com. McLane Company is an equal opportunity employer.
This is Gary Parrish. The Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar is a great place right next to the University of Memphis campus on the Highland Strip. And if you have an event, a birthday party, a wedding party, a graduation party, any kind of party, book some space at the Bluff. You can rent out any part of the Bluff, the front to the back to the mezzanine, and the place is big enough to accommodate 600 people. They can cater the event for you, or you can provide your own catering. Terrific rates, and you can trust that someone on staff is going to be on site to make sure your event is perfect. TheBluffMemphis.com and click the Host Your Event tab to get it booked today. TheBluffMemphis.com.
Hey, hon.
Hey, babe. You know that skateboard?
Oh, no. How bad?
A sprain, maybe a break. We're headed to the...
No, not the ER. Go to Campbell Clinic after hours in Germantown or South Haven.
We don't have an appointment.
You don't need one. With Campbell Clinic after hours, you can walk in, get treated, and get home.
Okay, we're headed there now.
Campbell Clinic Orthopedics, the official sports medicine provider for the Grizzlies, Redbirds, and Tigers.
There's nothing like meeting face-to-face, and there's nothing like Zoom to make that happen. Zoom lets you connect and do business across town or around the world. Zoom ties together all of your communication needs into one easy platform for video conferencing, phone calls, group chat, webinars, and your conference rooms. Connect easily from anywhere, your mobile phone, your laptop, or conference room. Zoom is how business gets done. Get your free account at Zoom.com today. Meet happy with Zoom.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good.
Wow, that's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
I got to go for mine. Affordable Blinds of Memphis. That's the place to go to transform your home this summer, like so many have. Whether it's blind shade shutters, whether it's exterior shutters, whether it's motorized blind. You can see their stuff, honestly. If you go to their Facebook page, Affordable Blinds and Shutters Facebook page, they got videos. They got photos. They can show you the kinds of things they have. You will be amazed at the options. I still like the whole idea of, I have not done this myself. This may be my next step. Alexa, open my blinds. And the blinds open miraculously. You'll feel like a gazillionaire, but you don't have to be to go to Affordable Blinds in Memphis. Affordable, highest quality, quickest service. Chip Wiggins will come to your home. We'll suss it all out for you. We'll give you an estimate. And if you want to proceed, within 1 to 3 weeks, it can be done. 753-5822, 753-5822, or on the webpage, affordableblindsofmemphis.com. Joined now by Gary Parrish. Gary Parrish is the host of the Gary Parrish Show. He's college basketball analyst for CBSSports.com. He is a multiple Emmy-winning personality, rising star in the field of meteorology, and a orthopedist in his spare time. GP joins me now. Gary, how are you?
I'm great. You okay?
I'm good. So you told me yesterday that the best story would be Kevin Durant coming back and leading the team to triumph. This is the worst story. Can we agree on that?
Yeah. I mean, it really is awful. As you point out, there's a two-year-old that got diagnosed with cancer yesterday. That's a worse story.
Yep.
But, you know, Kevin Durant's still going to have hundreds of millions of dollars in, relatively speaking, his health. But from a basketball perspective, strictly, under that umbrella, it's about as bad as it gets. A guy who is an all-time great, all-time talent, generational talent, I think clearly rushing back, I do believe, because of the external pressure to do so, but also because there were reports that his teammates were not necessarily questioning his absence, but confused by his absence. I think all of that maybe pushes you to a place where you're really choosing between these two things, neither of which is good. I have to if I sit out, which is probably what I ought to do, I'm going to be destroyed on social media. Like, this will be another part of my legacy. I won't just be the ring chaser anymore, the guy who joined a 73-win team. I'll now also be the guy who couldn't come back and help his brothers in the NBA Finals on the brink of elimination. So, like, if I don't play, that's my reality. If I do play, I might rupture my Achilles and miss a year, and perhaps, and you don't want to be overdramatic, but it is true. This is the type of injury that guys don't come back from and be their previous selves.
Kobe was never himself after his. Wes Matthews was never the same after his. DeMarcus Cousins, we'll see. He hasn't been. No, this tends to be a career alterer, let's just say that.
No question. Like, it's a torn ACL. Guys come back from that all the time and look just like they looked before. This is a different deal. And so for Kevin to be yesterday afternoon choosing between those two things and then decide, like, either don't play and have that be a part of my story, I wouldn't come back and help my brothers, or go play and risk a torn Achilles that will cost me presumably all of next season and perhaps change the entire trajectory of my career. To choose between those two things, choose what he chose, and then have what happened happen, it really is just about as bad as it gets.
It's just awful. Okay, let me unpack that just a little bit, though. Do you believe he thought that was the choice? And if that was the choice, wasn't it the obligation of, and this is the murky part, as I just said, we'll never really know. But the doctors said something about, I'm sure they said something about the risk of further injury, right? That had to be, as you're deciding whether to play or not, it's just, well, they'll say, well, it's just a matter of managing pain, or they'll say it's just a matter of, well, you could tweak it again, or your calf could, whatever, like it's a hammy, you could re-pull your hammy or whatever. Or they could say, yeah, there's some risk, but it's a slight risk. Or they could say, yeah, there's a real, like, there was some medical advice that went into this. I have to think that if they said, yeah, there's a real chance you're going to rupture your Achilles, he wouldn't have played, and no one would have let him play. Don't you believe that? If you think the doctor said there's a real chance you're going to rupture your Achilles, but hey, knock yourself out.
No, I think the doctors got this wrong, because there was a report pregame from Ramona Shelburne who said that, I don't know if she attributed to Steve Kerr or sourced it, but I feel like she attributed
to Steve
Kerr.
He kept saying it. He did say it. No further risk.
Yeah, and he said that, the doctors told him and Kevin and everybody else, there is no further risk of injury. You could re-aggravate the calf. But the idea that you are vulnerable to an Achilles tear playing under these conditions was not the word they were operating under. And I think, unless you believe this is just completely coincidental and fluky, which I don't either, then it appears they were wrong. And I think some evidence that suggests they know they were wrong is Bob Myers last night saying, if you want to blame somebody, blame me. I'm ultimately the guy in charge. And then went out of his way without being asked to say the trainers and the medical people who worked with Kevin, they're good people. Like, what? That, it was such a weird, I thought nice
right.
comment,
right?
But such a weird comment. Like, hey, they messed up, but they're good people. That's what he was saying. You know, you don't have to go out of your way to say these are good men and women with good hearts and good intentions unless you are trying to, acknowledge, hey, yeah, they messed up. They didn't mess up because they're bad people. They didn't mess up because they're bad doctors. They just messed up. And so it seemed pretty clear to me that, they're humans too. And maybe they, can put us – I don't know. I don't want to get into their heads. But it seems pretty clear to me if they were telling Kevin Durant, you can play and you're at no real risk of – more injury. Like, the worst case scenario is you re-aggravate the calf and then you just rehab it, rest for another 2 months. So what? It's the off season. If they told him that, which is what the report is, they were wrong. And that means that they messed up, and it means that they cost somebody, they cost him a season, and they might have cost him the next great part of his career.
Okay. If they said that, which is what Steve Kerr kept told Doris Burke. Then Kevin Durant wasn't faced with that choice that he was faced with. Well, I can play and tweak this, but I'll be fine. Or I can, and so then it's a natural choice that he made, and it wasn't as horrible a choice because he didn't think he was going to rupture his.
Right.
Like if they said that, and then honestly, if he said that, like a lot of thought, Bob people, and I've heard on Twitter people thinking Bob Myers was being fake emotion to cover a screw up by the organization. But the truth of the matter is, if the doctors told Bob Myers that, then I don't blame them either. Jeffrey doesn't believe the doctors said that. Jeffrey, why don't you believe the doctors said that?
I don't think that it was straight up that they said. To me, doctors don't deal in absolutes. They don't deal in there is no further risk of injury. I think the information.
They do all the time. Like with Kevon Looney, they actually said, you know, he has a fractured collarbone. He can play, and the reason he can play is because, like, you can't further fracture your collarbone. Like,
let me clarify. In terms of ligaments and those types of issues, they don't typically deal in absolutes.
I think they do actually. I would ask the doctor this. If I was Bob Myers, I would have said it's not further, it's additional. You can never guarantee someone won't get hurt. The question is does the current injury create additional likelihood of more injury, right? And so does it increase the likelihood of additional injury? And if they said it didn't, if they said it did, then even if it's marginal, it's irresponsible for him to have played. If they didn't, then they screwed up. And you're exactly right, Gary. Doctors do screw up. I mean, the doctors make misjudgments. Now, you can wonder whether, and I think this is, I mean, it is interesting. Like, that's known as a very good medical staff, but you can, like, people will tell you that you shouldn't listen to team doctors because they are swayed just without, unsubconsciously. They're swayed. They want their guys to play too. I don't know if that's true or not. It seems to me, I hate to say this, but the likeliest, it's either the doctors are at fault or Bob Myers is at fault, depending on what they said. And we'll never know, right?
I mean, I guess we'll never know unless we already know. You know, unless we
know. Right.
I'm going to trust what came out of Steve Kerr's mouth.
And what came out of Bob Myers' mouth, sort of by implication. Right, yeah.
Right. I'm going to trust what Steve Kerr said before any of this happened, which is the doctors have told us he's not at risk of any further additional injury. Like, the worst-case scenario, according to Steve Kerr pregame,
yep,
after he talked to the doctors, was that if Kevin can move and well enough, he can play. And the worst thing that can happen is that he might re-aggravate the calf, at which point he'll be sidelined, but he's sidelined anyway. He's not at risk of an Achilles. He's not at risk of tearing something that's going to be any more significant than what he's already dealing with. That's what Steve Kerr said pregame. It is certainly what Bob Myers said, implied postgame. And I think that's the most likely scenario. I think the doctors told Kevin something that now appears to be obviously untrue because, you know.
Okay, well, let me ask you this then. A lot of writers are out there now saying he shouldn't have played, right? Well, obviously now we know he shouldn't have played, right? But given that, put those writers in Bob Myers' position. Every writer who's right now saying shouldn't have played, every fan who's saying shouldn't have played, ridiculous he played. If you're in Bob Myers' position and then literally you're talking to the doctor and the doctor says to you, no additional risk of injury. Yes, he could tweak it, but there's no increased risk of serious injury here. Then who the hell are you, fan, journalist, whatever we are, to say he shouldn't have played? Then he should have played, right? I mean, if that's the medical advice, who the hell are you to any of us to overrule the medical advice and just say, yeah, but out of an abundance of caution, we're not going to play him?
No, I think what – you know, I don't want to speak for every writer in the world, but I where I'm at on this is he clearly should not have played. But given the information that the doctors reportedly provided to Bob Myers and Steve Kerr and Kevin Durant, under those circumstances, the only reasonable thing was for him to play, particularly when you saw how good he looked early. Like, he was moving and running around and bouncing and making shots. Like, he looked like himself. When the game tipped off, that's not the first time Steve Kerr and Bob Myers saw Kevin Durant move like that. They saw him move like that yesterday morning.
Right.
And so when they're watching
they saw him dance
move,
and dunk and everything else, like he was looking good. Yeah.
So when they see that combined with the doctors tell them he's not at risk of additional injury, it would be crazy to say, yeah, but we don't want you out there. Like if the doctors say you're good, you look good, go play. But it's a little bit like, and this is obviously apples to oranges in a drastic comparison, but I think it makes the point. If there's a plane crash and you find out afterward that like something was catastrophically wrong with the plane, you go, my God, those people should have never been on that plane. But in advance of it, you had no idea. They were, you know, you walked on the plane thinking everything was cool because you had no reason to think everything wasn't cool. Kevin Durant walked onto that court last night, presumably under the impression that he was fine and that he wasn't risking what he was actually risking. And so I don't think this is Kevin Durant's fault, because a player's mentality is to play if you're told you can. I don't think it's Steve Kerr's fault, because when the doctors tell you he can go and you're watching him go the way he's going, why would you not play him? I don't think it's Bob Myers' fault for the same reason. I think this is pretty simple, or it seems pretty simple to me. The doctors messed up. They right. said he was not at risk of additional injury when quite obviously he was.
To take the plane thing, it's as if there was a problem with the plane and the tarmac, and you bring in the mechanic, and the mechanic checks it out and says, oh, no, this wing is totally stable. It's the stablest wing I've ever seen in my life. You're up there in the air, and the wing falls off. I mean, that's exactly
right. And like to make it match up, it's not just the mechanic was like just randomly looking at the wing. You told him, hey, go
right.
look at this
go
wing.
Go check out this
we
wing.
We want to make sure this wing's okay.
Yeah, there's a
and
sensor
then he comes
going
back
off.
And says,
and
hey,
he says,
I looked at the wing.
Wing's great.
Wing's fine.
Right.
Dude,
wing's
go.
Fine. Go.
And then the wing falls off or
and
whatever.
Then, and then the damn wing falls off.
Happened.
Well, yeah, I was trying to make it in comical because I didn't want to make it actually real. I thought that was a little too close to home. So anyway, so what it does, the other weird thing about this beyond like.
Oh, and let me say this about Bob Myers' fake tears and, you know, putting on a show, because like, you know, I there's a lot of that out there in my mentions. I retweeted the press conference and a lot of people are like, he's putting on a show. He needs to move to Hollywood. It's not a stretch for me to think he might really be devastated, because Kevin Durant doesn't work with me and I don't see him every day, but I knew him once upon a time and spent time with him and liked him. And I was like, I wasn't crying on my couch. I don't want to overstate, but it sucked. Like I was like, it affected my mood watching that happen, because I know that's a guy who all he wants to do is hoop, and he's a generational talent, and he rushed himself back clearly with doctor's blessings, but inappropriate blessings. And now it is possible he'll never be the same player. Like, this is a guy who could have eventually got himself in the conversation for greatest basketball player of all time. It is not a stretch to think that in 4 years we'd be talking about Michael Jordan, LeBron James, and Kevin Durant as the GOATs. And now
– unlikely now. It's unlikely now.
It's unlikely now. He will – it is – the most likely scenario has us never seeing Kevin Durant play basketball at the level at which we've already seen him play basketball. And that's a horrible thing to think about. Not horrible like about things that are happening in this world every day. It's horrible strictly from a basketball perspective, but it is undeniably horrible from a basketball perspective.
One of the things that last night did, in addition to being the weirdest game I've ever seen, just the emotions of it, is that it altered, fairly or not, it tilted our perceptions of things, people, whatever. So take Toronto, start with Toronto, nicest people in the world. Canadians are just the best. I want to move there, have their health system, whatever, have their children. Like the Canadians are nicest people in the world. And there they are cheering the injury. And then there's a video going around about a Toronto fan cold cocking a Warriors fan afterwards. And so all of a sudden, Toronto image is, whoa, we're kind of reevaluating. You have the Warriors, who are this overwhelmingly talented team, now unbelievably plucky underdogs coming back from the precipice. I was rooting for them at the end. And honestly, I wouldn't want this for Kevin Durant at all. But he's now, weirdly enough, this is not a trade-off he would make, but he is now the ultimate sympathetic figure and warrior. Like, it is weird how this has altered perceptions, at least for the time being. What do you make of all of that?
Well, first, on the Toronto fans, I don't think what happened in terms of the initial booing is representative of who those people are any more than I don't think every Warriors minority owner is Mark Stevens. You know,
right.
I think Mark Stevens is Mark Stevens. And I think even the people who booed last night, Jeffrey was right about this. I heard you guys talking about it in the opening segment. Like, I think that could happen anywhere.
Yep.
Memphis, Toronto, whatever your favorite city is. And the reason is because some fans are in that arena so wired that everything that happens good for us is great, and everything that happens bad for them is also great. We're going to cheer good for us and bad for them at any moment. Like, every whistle that gets blown, fans have no idea. There are fans in the upper deck booing. They can't even see. They have no idea if it was a good call or a bad call. But if it's a call against them, they boo. Oh, ref, you suck. You have no idea whether that was a good call or not. And more often than not, when you're booing a call against your team, you're dumb because it's probably the right call. So I think they're just wired. Keep in mind, Kevin Durant falling didn't happen independent of everything else. It was also a turnover.
Right.
You know, he lost the ball. And so I think their instincts are turnover, Kevin Durant's on the ground, woo! And then very quickly, I do think in a matter of seconds, with the help of Kyle Lowry and Danny Green, they realize, oh, this ain't cool. Like, listen, we want bad things for them and good things for us, but not like this. Like, you know, if Kevin Durant didn't play, that's great. Kevin Durant might have just torn his Achilles. That's not cool. And so it's getting compared.
I agree with all of that, but don't you think it's going to stick to him a little anyway?
Oh, 100%, right? Because people aren't as nuanced as I just was. You know, people are like, Toronto, that's where they booed Kevin Durant. That's where they cheered right. Kevin Durant tearing his Achilles. Like, it's just simple. You know, people like to digest things in the simplest way possible. So that's part of Toronto now. But I don't think it's fair. I mean, I don't remember this, but if I have the story correct, it's being compared a lot to Philadelphia Eagles fans, like booing whatever it is they booed.
Right.
Or cheering whatever it is they cheered. But it felt like this is different than that because, if I had the story right, they just kept cheering. Like, they were happy to watch somebody get carried out on a stretcher or whatever the story is. Whereas last night, the initial reaction was unfortunate and inappropriate. But it quickly turned to cheers, quickly turned
to they were yelling.
To
they were chanting
chant.
KD. Yeah, they were chanting KD. They sort of realized what they did, I think. Like,
I think they realized what they did.
Yeah, and they didn't. At first, listen, I'll be honest. If it were my team and it were KD and he went out with he re-pinched his calf, if that's what had happened, I would have been happy. If he blown out, I would not be happy. Like, I do not want anyone to – I don't want my team to win by someone blowing out their Achilles. If they can't come back because they got a muscle pull, I got no problems with that. Like, I won't cheer it. I still won't cheer the muscle pull. But I don't think they knew what they did until it – you know, and I think there's regret and remorse. Like, so much of this series is now covered in remorse. I'm sure KD has remorse. I'm sure Bob Myers has remorse. Those Toronto fans have remorse. It's weird. I've never seen as much remorse come out of a game as this one.
Well, you if you're following any of the reporters who were in the building, you know, that moment really sucked all of the energy out of the game for a while. Like, suddenly you had a quiet arena. Fans were in this weird place where, you know, is it okay to cheer? You know, like, you yeah. know, is, you know, what just happened? Did we just watch an all-time great suffer a career-altering injury that comes on the, you know, on the heels of him, you know, being injured a month ago and perhaps not even being, you know, able to play in a way that he should have been able to play? Like, there was a whole lot of stuff going on. And then the game, the end was amazing.
Yeah,
because you get to this moment where Kawhi goes bucket, 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 and you really did, like, that's it. Like, they're without Kevin. Kawhi is taking over. This is how home court, This is how this is going to end. And then Nick calls the timeout. Warriors regroup. Sometimes in sports you have this moment where you look up, the final buzzer just sounded, and you're like, hold up, they won? How did that? What? 2 minutes ago, I thought this was over, and now it is over. But the other team won, and now we get a game six, and then you get the post game stuff where people are clearly emotional. I really do believe this. If you just dedicate, if you're a sports fan at any level, basketball or not, just a casual sports fan, and you committed 4 hours of your life last night to television, watching, I don't know, the hour pregame or 30 minutes pregame, the entire game, and then 45 minutes postgame, it'd be hard to find better reality television than that. Kevin Durant returning, him looking awesome, Warriors looking awesome, Kevin Durant goes down, game gets the energy sucked out of it, Kawhi Leonard takes over, Raptors on the verge of winning a championship, timeout, Warriors regroup, take the punch back, win the game, and then the confirmation that, you know, an all-time great is likely done for this series next year and maybe never to return to himself, which culminates with, Bob Myers crying publicly, discussing it. And whether you were watching, Steph Curry or Draymond Green on Scott Van Pelt last night, they won a game and they look like they lost a game. Because they did lose something. It was just nobody seemed happy. And it was a weird, draining, incredible night of television.
Better than the last episode of Game of Thrones?
I think so. I think better than the entire last season of Game of Thrones. Certainly more realistic.
certainly more realistic.
Certainly more sensible.
Certainly more sensible. And weirdly enough now, you've got Steph said something. He said, we've got nothing left to prove. I don't know that they had anything to prove anyway. I mean, there's a couple things. Like, they're demonstrably better with Kevin Durant. That was stupid. That was always stupid. They might have been more fun without him, but because it's more of a fair fight. He's so much better with Kevin Durant, it's ridiculous. And they've never had anything to prove. I do think now, though, now on top of being this immensely talented team, they're this kind of gallant team. Like, they are that. That was, with all due respect to them, that was grit and grind last night.
There's no question. And I honestly thought when they went down in the final minutes and Kawhi got going, that it would set in. We don't, like, even before, whether it was game one, game two, game three, or game four, they were always playing from the perspective of, listen, eventually we're going to get Kevin back. And it doesn't matter whether we're down 2-1 or 3-1 or 3-2 or whatever it is. Eventually, we're going to get Kevin back. And whatever we have to do to win the series, once we get him back, as long as we get him back before we're eliminated, we can do it. You know, he's that good. We're that good with him. As Steph had said before last night's game, we've won 3 games in a row before. It's not that big of a deal for us. And when they go down last night in the final minutes and they now know he ain't coming back, there is no Kevin Durant coming back for game six or game seven. That's over. I thought that they would buckle. Like, it would just be, okay, this is it. And they didn't. They showed incredible resiliency, incredible playmaking at both ends of the court. And I do agree with Steph. They now have nothing to lose. They're really off the hook, I think. I don't think anybody's going to write a "Was the Warriors dynasty a fraud" column after Toronto wins this championship, if Toronto wins this championship. But I will say, I mean, it would be an amazing story for them to go home.
I wouldn't even mind it now. Like, I wouldn't even mind it now. That would be an amazing story. Now, the problem is, and we'll get into this with Chris Harrington, is that it doesn't – the other thing, it doesn't set up real well for the future of the Warriors now, because KD will likely opt in. He's got a $31 million opt-in. He may well opt in at this point, take the $31 million, heal. And that puts the Warriors in a hell of a position because they're spending that for KD. They got to decide whether to keep Clay. They're going to pay huge taxpayers. This has repercussions for everybody. David Fizdale. It has repercussions for David Fizdale, right?
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If you're the Knicks or the Lakers or anybody else, do you still put max contract on him, even though you know he's coming off an Achilles and you don't have him at all for year one?
No.
I think most people still would.
I guess.
I'd be hesitant, but I think most people would. I bet you somebody would. I bet you somebody will offer him a max deal knowing that they can't have him for year one and he's coming off an Achilles. I think somebody will still be desperate enough to do it, even although it seems crazy.
How old will he be after – how old is he now? Is he 30 now? He's going to be 30?
Yeah, right around there, yeah.
He's going to be – let's see. Jeffrey's looking this up. He's going to be what is he, Jeffrey?
He'll be 31 in September, so that means he'd be 32.
So he'll be 32 coming off an Achilles, and you'd be paying him max money. You want to do that?
I don't know that I would. I bet you somebody will. I bet you somebody will put it on the table. He might just decide to opt in, take the 1 year of money from Golden State, and then, you know, reevaluate everything.
Yeah, may stay Golden State at that point, right? Yeah, I really do think people feel differently about him. I think he's become sympathetic. I know he wouldn't make that trade-off, but I do think he's become sympathetic. I know you always liked him. I didn't like him yesterday, but I'm rooting for him today.
I always liked him because I do think there's a different version of him that has gotten almost a...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.